Over the past week, every single one of us were glued to the news and glued to what was been going on in Israel. And one might say, of course, let's stop everything. And that certainly was appropriate. But at the same time, when it comes to people who are single, I reflect on two different areas, one within halacha, and one that's not necessarily halachic, but related to the fact that kind of like the show must go on. I got married before COVID, but there were a number of people who I was helping through within their dating experience during the COVID period. And I can't imagine what it was like to have to do that. Just because, of course, a person wants to get married. And just because things are going on in the world doesn't mean a person has to say, okay, I'm going to stop dating now. Who knows what's going to be? And when it came to COVID, of people doing things that are out of the norm to date over Zoom, most people a few weeks earlier didn't even know what Zoom was. And to date over Zoom or figure out how to date in person when things got a little bit better, it was a very challenging time. And most of our lives did not go back to normal. But when it comes to wanting to get married and the necessity for being able to date, so we have to figure out how to make that happen. So that's one area. And when it comes to halacha, so we know that the most serious time during the whole year, the time of greatest mourning and sadness, are the 3 weeks between Shavuos, Arba Tammuz, and Tisha B'Av. And one of the classic things that people know that we don't do during that time period is we don't have weddings. And one might think that we shouldn't have anyone be getting engaged at that time period, right? We don't allow haircuts. So if we're not going to allow haircuts, so I think getting engaged is a little bit more of a simcha, of a happy occasion, than getting a haircut. And yet, the Shulchan Aruch says that we do allow someone to get engaged. And the Shulchan Aruch says that we would even more permissible, but the Rama says during the period of the 3 weeks we don't allow marriage, but for a person to get engaged without having a party, that will allow. And it's an important lesson, because even though there are halachic restrictions on happiness, we want to make sure that Klal Yisrael, that everyone in Klal Yisrael, gets married. And we do so many things, so we might not restrict the wedding, we allow people to get engaged, to start that process. So I want to share with you a little bit about my journey. I know that for rabbis that have spoken to this group before, I assume that some of them have their own, of course, dating experiences, but many of them probably haven't necessarily have had challenging dating experiences. And I personally went through a lot in my dating experience. So I knew that I wanted to get married when I was 19 years old. And I really thought I would be married at the age of 20. 21, the latest. That's really what I thought. I wanted to get married far before my friends had even thought of starting to date. Literally years before some of my friends even thought or considered starting to date. And I assumed it would be a really smooth and easy process. And it was far, far from that. And there's so many lessons are within dating and within the experience, where we have one thought or one assumption of how things should be, and Hashem has a totally different plan for us. There were so many times, I probably dated literally about 100 girls over the years. I said I started dating basically at the age of 19, 20. I wanted to get married at 19. Started dating shortly after that, and I got married at the age of 31. Probably dated around 100 girls, and there were many, many occasions where I felt, you know, this could be the one. And there were times where, as the relationship progressed, where I saw something in the other person where I felt this is not the one. There were times where I experienced heartbreak, and I felt this person might be the one, and then they broke up with me. And every person who's been in a relationship knows that one of the greatest challenges is going back to square one. Because as we are dating a person, And as we start to learn about them and understand their experience, and we have a tremendous amount of imagination. Hashem blessed us to be able to think of so many things. And just from experience, I remember there were people who I dated who are not necessarily from the New York, New Jersey area. And I remember thinking that I knew I wanted to be a rabbi, go into chinuch, go into education, and thinking, you know, okay, maybe I'll teach in that high school in Florida or that high school in LA or Cleveland. And just going 15 steps ahead of where I was in the relationship, because I hoped and assumed that maybe this will be the one. Maybe this will work out. Maybe my life is going to be the following steps and the following stages. And then things are getting better and better. And then it just stops. And sometimes, as we know, the most challenging ones are when it's just sudden, when you didn't see it coming. You're blindsided. And we have that thought of, how am I going to do this again? How is this going to happen? And there were so many times where I experienced that. And it compounds the frustration over and over. Because what it leads to is what we call yayish, which is losing hope. Because one of the hardest parts for anyone who's dated for even more, for let's say a few years, obviously if a person dated for a decade or so, but even just after a few years, sometimes an element of yayish starts to seep in, where you feel maybe this isn't going to happen for me. And we think about those people that we know that are older and still single, who have not found someone to marry. They've not found the right person. And we think about that person, and all of us, I guarantee you, all of us know someone who's, if not many people, who are amazing people and are older and single. And some of them are people who have given up on trying to get married. People in their 40s or 50s or 60s. And we just don't have any answers. Why did that happen to them? And if it happened to them, maybe that'll happen to me. And then the fear seeps in. And it's very, very hard. And another element that makes the frustration and the challenge even greater is that most people, if you dated for a few years, you get to a point where you feel like, I've dated everyone I could possibly have dated. I've dated everyone shayach, everyone who's in the realm of possibilities for me is someone who I've dated. I know everyone within the 10, 20 mile radius. How's this going to happen? And it's so challenging. And I have a good friend who, he actually just got engaged. He was, I guess, 35 when he got engaged. And he was someone who totally felt it. And he really, like, he dated here and there, but he really felt like, I know everyone. There's no way I'm going to be suggested someone who I'm going to find out, wow, I've never heard this person. Wow, this person sounds amazing. So that's never going to happen. And then it happened. And he was at his engagement party, as L'chaim, he spoke and said this exact day. He said, it's all from Hashem, the fact that, like, it's crazy that I never heard of her and that she never heard of him. And it ended up working out. And I have their wedding in just under a month. But that feeling that we've all had, most likely, of, I feel like I know everyone. How's this going to happen? How am I going to get married? There's no one to marry, is something that's so challenging. And I'm with you in the pain. I've been there. And it certainly is something that I can relate to. But I could tell you that Hashem has many, many ways, many paths. And we have a certain vision that we see. We don't recognize that there's so many other possibilities. Whether it's long distance, we don't have to even get into the practical. But there are many, many possibilities of things that Hashem could do. And what I'll share with you is that the greatest thing is that at some point, Be'ezras Hashem, it could happen. And you could meet the right one. You'll get engaged. And when that moment happens, it's like you are so thankful for all the previous years of dating for something not working out because you couldn't imagine your life without the person who you waited years to be with. It's something like Megillas Esther, where the whole story seems really bad and getting worse and worse as the chapters go on. And then there's a little hope. And then all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, Yeshua, salvation for the Jewish people. And it's only when you look back at Megillas Esther where you see all the steps that were all necessary to bring the redemption. And when a person gets engaged, if it's someone who dated for a number of years, you really, from my experience, you really feel that. You really feel like, I see what Hashem did. You could see what Hashem did. And it's so hard, though, as you go through the process. Because the greatest challenge and the thing that causes the highest level of anxiety is the what if it doesn't happen? And unfortunately, I can't promise it will happen. That's the greatest challenge. Like I said moments ago, that we just never know. We really just never know. And now I want to share five ideas with you. Five lessons that I've reflected upon. I think could help a person's situation. I apologize. None of these are meant to be insulting, if any of them are. I hope they're not. But it's really different avenues to hopefully think more about our own dating process, try to figure out a way to hopefully get from the frustrations of dating to get to the chuppah. The first one is what I call finger pointing. When it comes to, let's say, just forget dating for a second, when it comes to any argument, so all of us, whenever we're in an argument, we feel that we are right. Right? We feel we are giving the proper solution. This is what should happen. And the other person, whoever we're disagreeing with, they're strong about their views. Right? This is the case within politics, right? It's the case in so many areas. And when it comes to dating, so I think it's important, and it's totally okay to feel like you are always in the right, or almost always in the right, but I think that a person has to try their best to look at the other perspective. So, for example, there are plenty of times where a person might, I'll just throw out a million different types of reasons why someone might end a relationship, and you could go out with someone, you'll say, you know, that person's not attractive, or that person's not religious enough, or there's not real any chemistry, or I didn't like the way they dressed, or they did this on the date, or they told me about this that he wanted to do. This was his aspiration or his dream, but these were his parents. His parents are like that. I can't be with someone like that. And there's so many times where we're constantly pointing the finger to the other side. And I just want to give an example of my personal dating experience where I recognized I had to change something. The first 10 girls I dated all broke up with me. Okay, now it's not a competition of who's the one who breaks up or who's broken up with, but it says something. There's a little bit of a red flag if I'm broken up with every single time. What am I doing wrong? And I was reflecting. I can't remember if someone made this suggestion. This is many years ago. This was probably around 2008, 2009. But I remember thinking about the fact that I used to have the following thought. I used to think the longer the date, the better the date. And so if I meet a girl and we're going out, and it's the first date, and I'm getting to know her and I like the conversation, so I'll make sure this is going to be a long date. And I went out for maybe 4 hours. And then the girl ended it. And I remember thinking, why that? It was good. It was very nice. I like getting to know her. What could have happened? And then the next girl, and the next girl, and the next girl. And I was having really long dates. Now, of course, that might not be the only reason, but after dating 10 girls, where almost all of them ended within one, two, or three dates, I realized I have to change something. And I was able to introspect about my dating experience and pointing the finger not at, oh, what's wrong with her? Oh, I'm happy she ended it because she was like this. Or I'm happy this other girl ended it because, you know, this was her situation. But I was able to point the finger at myself saying, what am I doing wrong? What could I change? And I think it's a very important thing because, like I said, most of the time we do feel we're right. And it's okay to feel right. But it is important to reflect upon ourselves thinking, could I be doing something different? And there's so many areas and avenues, we'll discuss them soon, but where we feel like, yes, maybe I have to approach dating differently. Maybe I have to have this other type, this other mentality that I haven't typically had, or give people a little bit more of a chance, or be willing to date a type of person like this. Whatever it may be, the more we're able to have the humility to point the finger at ourselves, the better the chances we have of having a long-lasting relationship that could really be positive. Of course, whenever we point the finger elsewhere, it's because there is something that we're frustrated with. But what's the reason we're frustrated? Is it so big? Is it so small? But I think it's important to introspect and think about what we could change. The second lesson is that life is not a Disney movie. And we've grown up, all of us. Now, it doesn't have to be Disney. I could have used Hallmark, could have used Netflix, could have used a lot of things. But practically every movie that involves two people meeting is something that is typically unrealistic in a relationship. Odds are, when it's people falling in love in a movie, they knew each other for anywhere between one day or 1 month. And all of a sudden, from the beginning, they didn't know each other. Wow. They had this one experience together. Now they fall madly in love. They live happily ever after. And of course, it's not always like that, but you know what I'm saying. But life is not like that. And unfortunately, for so many things, not just in terms of the time, it's not just about, oh, I expect to find the person to be married or engaged within a week. But there is the most dangerous element is the love component. And the fact that when it comes to movies, it seems like they fall madly in love within literally love at first sight. Or at worst, in a Disney movie or a movie, it will be after having one or two conversations. And real life is not like that. And there's not necessarily going to be clear signals one way or another. And it might not even be within 1 month or 2 months or 3 months. It takes time. All relationships take time. And the clear fireworks that you want don't always happen. It really is a process to grow. When it comes to the first shidduch ever of Yitzchak and Rivka, it says that the love, Yitzchak married her and they were in love. And not where a person from our modern age dating should wait to fall in love or to feel love after they're engaged or after they're married, but recognize that real love actually comes later. And I'd like to point out the distinction between infatuation and love. If you meet someone and you're very attracted to them, you're enamored by them, they're very charismatic, they're just so nice. I saw that this person so nice. So a person could be enamored by them, by the other person. And that could really wear off. I experienced that many, many times, where it could be a few dates in and I'm like, okay, this is the one. And then all of a sudden I actually get to know the person and this is not the one. And when it comes to real love, love requires sacrifice. Love requires getting to really know someone and having an intimate relationship where you relate to the person on a very deep, profound level. And it takes a lot of time and real serious conversations to be able to have that love. And also an act of giving. That real love happens after a person is married because marriage requires a tremendous sacrifice. It's not just, oh, I appreciate you, and it is certainly challenging to schedule dating. I'm aware. I was dating through grad school. I was dating when I was working, And I know it is challenging to make time for dating. But when someone is married, the sacrifice level is even greater. Then when someone has children, it's even greater. And the love comes in from always trying to put the other person first. So the more opportunities you have to try to care for the other person and put the other person's needs ahead of your own needs, that will foster within you a greater sense of love and care. I want to move on to lesson number three. Lesson three is to put yourself out there. Just last Thursday, I was talking to a girl who's 22 years old, and she just started dating. I say she technically started dating because she didn't actually go on a date yet. And she was asking me advice of what to do, because one of the things about her was that she feels she's very out of the box, and she can't really pinpoint exactly the type of hashkafa that she is. But the other thing, the more relevant for this lesson and this point, is that she is currently living at home, and she's not Hasidish or Yeshivish, but all her, pretty much most of her friends are within that category. And she contacted a few shadchanim, but it's like, it's just felt a little awkward, a little uncomfortable, not sure how much to be, how persistent to be. And one of the things I shared with her, and one of the things that's within all of dating, and I'll give other examples within dating of where this is relevant, is to make, to as much as possible, to be vulnerable. We have to be open to being vulnerable and to putting ourselves out there. I'll just use a case of someone who doesn't want to put themselves out there. So if you have someone who's single, let's say someone is 30, and they've never gone on a single Shabbaton, they've never asked any friend of theirs to think of them, have them in mind. They've never once contacted a shadchan. They just hope that they'll meet someone, like it's going to happen, it'll work out, waiting by their phone, hopefully just figuratively, for a call to happen. But if they're not doing those things, then it makes it far more challenging for them to get set up and to meet the right person. So most people do not like singles events. Most people do not want to feel very uncomfortable texting a friend, whether the friend is a single friend or whether the friend is someone who's married, whoever it may be, or texting a teacher or a rav and say, please have, are you able to have me in mind? Would I be able to share my resume with you? People don't want to do that. But unfortunately, it's one of the things that, I don't want to say it's necessary, because it's not necessary, but it's certainly advantageous and certainly helpful. And the more we're willing to go out of our comfort zone, the more we're willing to put ourselves out there. Like I said, those examples of asking people and messaging people to think of you, and I've gotten, Baruch Hashem, I'm happy to get many text messages from people. If you know of someone, like, please think of me, here's my resume. And I'm happy to try. Whether it comes to fruition, whether I'm able to think of someone practically, I try. But the more you're able to do that, the greater the odds of you being able to get set up. And you'll be able to have someone who really knows a good person for you. And tied to that other issue of sometimes we feel like, oh, I know everyone. It's because, yeah, you do know the 80 guys or girls who are within your circle. But if you message some people, if you speak to some people who are a little bit out of your circle, or that friend who's part of your, like, hashkafic circle, but no, maybe they know someone else. Maybe they know a colleague from work who's single, who's good for you. And to go to maybe some of these events, or to speak or contact shadchanim, if it hasn't been so successful for you being set up, just get it going through friends, which certainly is much more comfortable, and I was much more comfortable with that. But then there was a time where I signed up for YU Connects, and there are times where a person feels, you know, let me try another avenue. It could only help me. And you know, just because I speak to a shadchan doesn't mean I can't get set up by friends still, right? It's to hedge our bets. And it's certainly beneficial to do that. The fourth lesson I want to share with you is have a mentality on dates. And our mentality in dating. Think about the following. When it comes to different countries, some adjudicate based on innocent till proven guilty or guilty till proven innocent. And even though, of course, You have to show that this person who's on trial is innocent or is guilty. There are tremendous differences between those two views. And when it comes to dating, many people, I think, might date of, okay, this, let's say you're going on a first date, you're about to meet the person you're going out with, and you might have the mentality of, I'm not going on a second date unless it's proven to me that I should. I don't want to waste my time. This person, like, I'm not so excited about, you know, maybe it could be okay. I want him or her to prove themselves to me. Prove it to me. Prove me that it's worthy of wasting another, spending another 3 hours on a Thursday or Sunday night. And I think to reverse it and to have the following mentality is much healthier. The mentality of, I'm about to meet someone. I'm in this. I'm going to continue dating this person until I feel that it's not worth going out with this person. Till I recognize this is not shaykh. This is not a good relationship, and I will definitely not be marrying this person. Because with that mentality, you're giving the person much more of a chance, and you're far more optimistic when you meet them. All of us know that the longer you date, in terms of the more years you've been dating, the more pessimistic you are in dating. I remember when I was like the first girl I was dating, I was thinking, you know, I feel like I'll probably marry this person. I don't even know them really, but it'll probably work out, right? And then you get to the 40th person you're dating, and you're like, okay, so, you know, I'll waste 2 hours and then that'll be it and probably never see them again, right? All of a sudden, things change. The pendulum swings very quickly. But if we're able, as hard as it might be, but if we're able to get to that mentality of trying to be optimistic and thinking, you know, this might be the one. And you know, I'm going to continue dating this person until I feel this is definitely not worth continuing. And it might take one date for that to happen where it's, okay, like this person's personality is very, very different from mine, something I'm very not appealed to. This is not going for a second date. And it might be that. But it might be, you know, the first date was okay. I'm not sure, but like, okay, let me go out on a second time. As opposed to, yeah, it was okay, but like, I don't think it's worth it. It's just not worth going again. I can't imagine this is going to get better. Right? There's a positive way to look at something, and there's a negative way, a pessimistic way to look at something. So to try our best to be positive and to have that healthy outlook of, I made it until I see that's certainly not worth continuing, I think is very, very beneficial. And the last lesson, the last piece of advice is to make sure to bring Hashem into your dating. Sometimes we think about our relationship with Hashem and Judaism, about we have our religious beliefs and our components, and we have our davening and our keeping Shabbos and kosher and our mitzvos. And then we have the other things in life. And it might be like watching Netflix or playing music, listening to music, playing sports, and dating. And that's just like, it's totally two different worlds, our religious mentality and our secular mentality. But move dating to the religious side. Recognize that dating is a part of our avodas Hashem. Aside from the fact that the reason we're dating is to get married, to have a Jewish home, which is an important mitzvah and a huge mitzvah to be able to bring children into the world. Aside from even that, just recognizing that Hashem is in this with me, and to daven to Hashem, and to turn to Hashem, and to recognize that I can't do this without Hashem. Right now, of course, with what's going on in Israel, we certainly recognize that we need Hashem in our lives. And we need to turn to Hashem to ask for everything and anything. And dating is no different. We need to turn to Hashem. We need Hashem's help. And I'm sure you've been davening before. But it's important to really recognize this point. And one etzah, when it comes to this component of davening, is there's a concept that if a person davens for their friend and is davening for themselves for the exact same situation, for the exact same result, then they could be answered first. And whether it has to be that way or not, but just to always think about other people is a very important thing. And one idea is to ask a friend of yours who's single, a good friend, and say, how about you daven for me every day and I daven for you every day? It could be you're already doing it. Might be a daily thing, might be here and there whenever you remember them. But to really make an effort, this one idea is to really make an effort to have this pact with them of I'm going to daven for you to get married and you daven for me to get married. And hopefully through the eschos of you davening and caring for someone in the same situation as you will hopefully show Hashem's mercy to be able to help both of you in your mutual situation for both of you to be able to get married. But to recognize that Hashem's a big part of this picture and that to view it as something separate from our religious life could be detrimental to our success. And I want to just end off by sharing that if anyone needs help, I'm happy to help however I can. And I'm going to give out my phone number now. So feel free to text me, feel free to call me. For those on the live, I just put it in the chat box. For those who are going to be listening, I'll just share the number, which is 201-543-9308. I'm really happy to help if I can when it comes to giving advice. I'm able to think of someone, for whatever it may be. I know that it certainly could be a very lonely and challenging experience, and not everyone has people to turn to who really understand what they're going through or people that could really give sound advice. I think we all have, everyone who's dated for more than a few years certainly has had their experiences of getting really bad advice from people. So I hope I'm not adding to that list of giving bad advice, but I am happy to help if I am able to. So feel free to text me, feel free to call me. And happy to stay in touch. I have an Instagram where I share Torah and stories and ideas as under Rabbi David Schlosselberg. So certainly you can follow me there and you can message me. I check my messages daily on Instagram and I'm in touch with a lot of people through DMs, through messaging on Instagram. So you could be in touch with me there. But I hope one of the hardest parts of doing this is that I don't know what you are thinking. But I hope that you did enjoy this. I hope you did find this beneficial. And I'm here for you. I'm davening. I daven for people specifically and in general for Hashem to help those who are single to be able to get married. Daven for it all the time. So, Bez Hashem, hopefully this will be the last one you need to hear, the last of these Chedel talks. And hopefully you will see the light at the end of the tunnel very soon.